It's Monday on Daily Delivery. Michael Rand here, Patrick Royce with me as usual. Patrick, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good. You are better than the Twins, maybe not as good as the Timberwolves, and we'll see about the Vikings. We're going to talk about all three of those teams, but a week ago, Patrick, on this show, we talked about what a daunting matchup Phoenix was for the Timberwolves, and I do believe that is still true, but my goodness, Wolves looked really good, as an understatement, on Saturday, routing Phoenix up 1-0 in the series, game two tomorrow. I didn't expect that. I don't know what you expected, but that wasn't it for me.
No, they I liked the matchups he came out with, and then he played Alexander Walker a lot to give him some great defense, and that makes a difference. But to me, I think the thing that we didn't think about, and of course Phoenix missing shots had a lot to do with it, but 52-28 on the boards, and I think Rudy had 9 rebounds the first quarter. Is that right?
Something like that. Yeah,
he had 16 for the game. So you look at a game like this and you wonder, how is Rudy going to be a factor with all these guys out there running around on the perimeter? But getting every rebound helps, you know, if he gets all the rebounds. And he had I know that Anthony Edwards and Nikhil got all the credit, but I think Rudy had a whole lot to do with that too, because they couldn't get to the basket, and he got every rebound. And the big donkey for them that they use in the middle, that guy's had big games against the Timberwolves this year when they went 3-0 against him, because nobody pays any attention to him. And plus he's a good passer, but he made 3 or 4 layups or something, but he didn't do anything. And it was they took him apart in the third quarter, and of course Edwards was great in the third quarter. And after having a very poor half, it is interesting that I think everybody's kind of joking about it, that Mike Conley, who's has a bit of a understated character, but basically telling the team, win it for me, which is pretty funny. And then he goes out and has a clinker, but didn't make any difference. He went 2 for 12. He shouldn't be taking 12 shots, in my opinion. He's he's a guy that when they absolutely leave him open, take 6 or 7 shots and, make an occasional 3. But I suppose they were leaving him open because he, they're not going to, when they're making their plans, they're not going to say guard Conley. So they give him some shots. But it was a very impressive win. And now you got to try to repeat it and beat them by 4 or 5 points in a grinding, grueling game, because Phoenix is going to come out. I actually listened to the Phoenix post-game show. They got Tom Chambers and some of those people on TV. And they're saying, you can't let them have those hands all over you like the Timberwolves did, and not try to drive to the basket and get them to call a foul. You got to, they're going to have you, if you're just standing there and waiting to shoot a 3, they're going to let you put a hand on them. But if you drive, you can force them to foul you. You're going to get some calls against them. And even in the first half, the Timberwolves had some calls against them. But I think it's going to be there's going to be a lot more Phoenix whining about the officials, because and trying to convince them to call more fouls, because they did let the Timberwolves, who are a much more physical team, be much more physical. So, and they did take care of Booker too. What, 5 for 16, something like that. And that's really key, because I go into that game and I think that Devin Booker is the best player on the floor, but he was about the 6th or 8th best player on the floor on Saturday. So it was a very impressive performance. And a tribute to Chris Finch, too, who once in a while can some of our basketball experts in town like to criticize him on occasion for this or that. I think he's really good.
Yeah.
I think he's really good, because he's he knows it's the NBA. You're going to have some clunkers. There's going to be some clunkers. But at this time, when you get to this point, you can't have any clunkers. And now, if you go down to Phoenix, if you're ahead 2-0, you go down to Phoenix, and they get you down 15 in the start of the fourth quarter, then okay, let them, you know, okay, that's their game. So, but this one, Saturday, obviously, is the biggest game of the series because it showed you, hey, not only can you compete, you might be the better team.
Right.
But now Tuesday becomes huge, you know. If you can repeat that and go down there 2-0, I don't know what the odds are when you're ahead 2-0 in a series, but it's probably got to be 85% in NBA history or 90%. So anyway, that's my theory. I thought they were really fantastic, even with not everybody playing great, but enough guys playing great. And the bench, I mean, the other big thing is the bench. What was the bench scoring? It was
crazy. Yeah. I mean, you figured it might be two, but yeah, it was. And a couple things that I thought of. One, I don't think we've seen the Wolves play great a lot lately. This felt like like how they were playing early in the year, when they were surprisingly good, when we were like, wow, this might be a really good team. We just hadn't seen them play this well for a long time.
No, a month. I've been saying that for a month, that they're just not playing great. I mean, they come out and they're playing the dogs of the league, and they're down 12 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they made several walkover games hard because they played so bad in the first half. But it's the NBA. It's they're not there's 82 of them. The fellas aren't gonna get, you know, you're not going to have their full attention for every game.
No,
and it's impossible. I mean, it's a grind, man. And everybody talks about the grind that hockey is, and it certainly is. But in hockey, you're playing 19 guys, you know, and they're jumping over the boards every minute and a half. This is, if you're good, you're playing 34 minutes a night, and it's a grind. And some days you're just gonna say, you know, you're sitting in the locker room before the game and Finchie's trying to tell you now come out there and jump on him, and you're saying, it's Washington, we don't have to, we can, right, we're gonna beat him eventually. But
right.
He definitely had their full attention, and he was right all week when he said, hey, it was perfect for us to, you know, not be in the play-in game, so they could spend a week. So they could spend a week, and they didn't do much the first 2 days, right? Monday and Tuesday. And then Monday they didn't practice. Tuesday, I don't know if they practiced or not, but they didn't do anything formal. So they, you know, he let them rest for a couple of days too before they started grinding. So
yeah, anyway, they had some fresh legs a little bit, just from not having had to play and grind for so long, because what their last regular season game was Sunday, and then they don't have to play till Saturday again. I thought too, the way they deployed Cat, I mean, he was good in the first half. He got him points when they needed points, kind of stabilized the offense, but didn't overdo it. He played like 27 minutes, maybe got plenty of Nas in the third quarter. Like, you use your depth, be afraid. Like you said, don't be afraid to kind of exploit your advantage there. Like, you don't want to go 11 deep in the playoffs, but the Suns played like seven guys, maybe. Like, you can wear a team down over the course, especially if, I don't know if Grayson Allen's status is going to be for Tuesday, but he left that game with the ankle.
Yes. And here's the deal. I didn't realize this. I read Hines' piece early this morning. I didn't realize that the starters play 14 minutes together.
Together.
Basically during the game. They play 14 minutes, and that's normal. That's like 14 and a half, 15 minutes during the season. So we spent all our time worrying about the starters. But, you know, with 2 minutes to go in the first quarter, they usually sub somebody else in, and it ends up being a mismatch the rest of the day. So that's when your depth, the fact that they have Walker and Cat on the, and I mean Walker and Reed on the bench is, you know, six, seventh men, they're not many better, right?
No, I agree with that.
You know, and now they got it figured out. So they got two guys that they can play a little bit instead of Connolly too, if they want to go that. I mean, a lot of times they don't even have a point guard on the court, but when they do, they got, you know, they can play Morris for 7 minutes and McLaughlin for 5 minutes, and sometimes they play them together. So You know, now they're not going to have Kyle Anderson, so it'll be interesting to see if that hurts him much or not. That probably just shortens the bench, right?
Yeah, if he can't go, we'll see. But yeah, we got a hip
Well,
pointer,
didn't
right?
they
So
say the hip pointer? That's he's not
that's
going to
usually
play
not
with a
good.
hip pointer. No, he's not going to play with a hip pointer. So, of
Yeah.
course, you know, they're lucky it's not last year because he was much more important to the team last year than he is
Yeah,
this
he
year.
was. Especially when
Yeah.
Cat was out. Like, and you saw that again. Like, his game got elevated when Cat was out again this year. It's just more natural for him to play in that role. The big question now is, can they do it again, or can they do something close to it again?
Oh,
Because
yeah.
it did feel like a game where almost everything went right. They got out to a pretty good start. They had a lead by halftime. They expanded it in the third quarter. Ant was making shots. Phoenix was missing shots. Like, you don't want to get too comfortable with the idea of, okay, it's going to be like, hey, we can do that again. Like, you got to go do it again if you're going to do it again.
Okay, let me give you my personal guarantee. With 2 minutes to go, you're not going to know who's going to win this game.
That feels about right.
That's going to be it's going to be okay. The Timberwolves just called timeout. They got the ball and they're up. They're down two. You know, it's going to be one of those games. I think it's going to be a battle. You're not going to blow them out again. That's not happening. So
No.
Frank Vogel's a good coach too. So they'll make some adjustments. They are troubled. If they lose Allen, they're gonna. That's gonna. Who's gonna have to play then? I'm not a Grayson Allen fan, just as a human being, but he can make shots, and he didn't. What he only took three shots, so they were. That was an interesting thing. They had Connolly guard him at the start of the game, right? Because
I
that
think
was
so,
the
yeah.
matchup. That was the matchup. So, anyway, yeah, it was a really terrific performance, and they took down the curtains too. I mean, they took down the
Yeah.
tarps upstairs, right? Put in the old 19,000. So, the only thing I don't like about the game. And I saw it again in Oklahoma City yesterday. Whiteouts. I hate whiteouts.
We're
Get
doing
rid
it.
of whiteouts.
We're doing it
It's too
again for
hard.
game two. I saw we're doing it again for game
It's too
two.
hard for me to watch a game with the whiteouts. I mean, I'll be at the game Tuesday. I didn't go Saturday, but I plan to be at the game Tuesday. But it's not good for TV, the whiteouts. I don't like the whiteouts. So. It's just where you're, why do they have whiteouts? Don't they want people to show up in their jerseys and their equipment and everything? So
Don't know.
I don't. Since we started it all, Terry Robbins is responsible for this whole
Yes,
thing and his
the hanky.
waving flag. She ruined postseason baseball because second inning, somebody gets two strikes on them, the whole crowd's up screaming and hollering, even though they don't want to be. And they waving that stuff, and then you got to wear the t-shirts and just play the damn game. Come on, stop that nonsense. You got the fans involved. You don't need t-shirts, for goodness sakes. So.
Open a 5.15% annual percentage yield 9-month certificate from Royal Credit Union. Open now at rcu.org/certificate515. Early withdrawal penalties could reduce earnings and principal. APY accurate as of 4/26/24. Insured by NCUA.
Speaking of the Twins, Patrick, 7-13 now, 20 games in again. It's not too far into the season, but it does have a little bit of the feeling of getting late early already. Are they this bad? Are they this
They're
bad?
eight games behind after 20 games. That's
Yeah.
almost historic. But they got the Mighty Whiteys coming
Right.
in, who are 3-18.
They're so bad. You see
And
their run differential is,
I figured it out. The Twins, if they stay at this pace, will finish 64 games out of first place. But the White Sox will be 98 games out of first
98
place.
games
So
back.
it'll be a battle. But the White Sox intended to be bad. The
Yes.
Twins did not. But I was contemplating this. In fact, I woke up about an hour ago and I started contemplating.
Okay.
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 Here's the big problem.
Okay.
When I look at this team, I know we got shifts and we got very productive shortstops and it's changed a little, but baseball has always been a game where a catcher, shortstop, second base, and center field were the defensive positions.
Yep.
And the corner outfields and third base and first base were the offensive positions. Nobody ever said I'm going to play this guy at first base because, boy, he's a really good fielder. We get a good fielder, but it's an offensive position. You look at this team right now without Correa and without Royce Lewis. Mm-hmm. They're god-awful in the middle of the infield, fielding-wise. Two defensive positions, two of the most important defensive positions, and they're putrid on the corners hitting. So, yeah. You know, you got Kyle Farmer's 3 for 38 or something, and Carlos Santana, God love him, good player, looks like a dead body at the plate. So they brought in Carlos Santana because he was a good fielder at first base. Who cares? Kirilloff is good enough. He's not going to get hit in the face with a ground ball, okay? He's good enough to play first base. There's now, obviously, not having Royce Lewis and Carlos Correa, your two best players and your best part of your team is your left part of the infield, is not planned. And the fact that you have to play Willie Castro at shortstop every day because not only did Correa get hurt, but Brooks Lee, your right. hot prospect's got, a bad back? Or what's his problem?
He's got a back problem, yeah.
I don't know what he is. So he's did nothing. We don't hear anything about him. Is he undergoing life-threatening back surgery or something? What the hell's going on? But what I'm saying is they're just completely screwed up now. They're just it's not a competitive team. It's you look at the lineup, they're hitting 195.
It's terrible.
195. Are they this bad? Yes, they're this bad. Right now, they're this bad. Yesterday, they load the bases up. This Casey Mize hasn't pitched much at all. He's coming back from surgery. He loads up the base in the first inning. Now, Austin Martin hit a ball hard to right back to the mound and didn't get any runs out of that first inning. But they don't get, the highlight of their last 10 days is they hit three sacrifice flies in a game the other day. So to win a game on Saturday, but they're just a complete mess. And meanwhile, Sonny Gray pitched his third straight outstanding game for the Cardinals. He's pitched three games. He's got a 1.02 ERA. Now I think he had to leave after six. He missed the start of the year.
Right.
But, I was saying, okay, 3 years, 75 is too much. But if you offer him 3 years, 60 before the season ends last year, what's he do with it? He right. might take it.
Yeah, I or mean, close they to it, yeah.
They have messed this up so bad. They announced that they weren't going to spend the money, which is one of the dumbest things that's ever been done in sports. If you're not – and why? Why, when I had my talk with Glenn Taylor way back in mid-February, what he did, now the you have your separate companies and you budget them independently, right? So when he had to give Carl Anthony Towns $126 million, he went to the bank and borrowed it okay, we're going to make this back someday, hopefully. Right. Well, why didn't they go to the bank and borrow it? They own banks, don't they? Right. Why don't they go to the bank and borrow some money until they find out what their TV deal is?
Right.
They, the fans, we were, I think a lot of us kind of defended. I was not outraged about the fact that they didn't spend any money. But that they cut money.
Right.
But you look at it now, the outraged fans were correct. They have messed up a good deal, and this is a pathetic looking operation right now. And Cleveland cut payroll too, but they got an idea what they're trying to do.
Yeah,
these guys don't have an idea what they're trying to do. Now, I like Austin Martin a lot, but he's not a left fielder.
No,
he's a shortstop or something. What's he doing there? I mean, why is he playing? We want somebody in left field looking to hit. It's a bad. There's no, we were talking a couple of years ago. You read people that they're experts in the minor leagues and stuff. All these players are coming. Where the hell are they?
Yeah, I want to know that too. I don't know.
Where are they? There aren't any prospects. There's one at that Emmanuel Rodriguez, the Double A. Apparently, he's going to be a player. And
sure, let's go.
Look at the St. Paul. St. Paul gets shut out again yesterday. They have no players.
Let's go.
They don't have any players. So, this idea that they got organizational depth is horse manure. You know, you look at two drafts. They got two drafts where their first pick was Sabato. And then the shortstop, is he even still in baseball? What was his name? Kiki Coco or some damn thing? What was his name? I don't even know if they cut him or not. If not, he's in the in the low A or something. I mean, two number ones. They're right now, they are a terrible looking organization. Right now, it does not look good because there's, you know, Louis Barlin's got to go back.
So you're
going to call up Simeon Ridge Richardson, I suppose, and give him Richardson, you got to let him have a chance, right? He pitched one game. He got him out for five innings. My God, let's have a parade. Let's bring him over from St. Paul in a chariot or something.
carry
him a chance with flower petals coming because he might be able to pitch five innings. It's brutal right now, and it's just a poorly, terribly now. As again, not having Lewis, not having Correa, it's fine. They got Buxton in center, but there's no depth to make up for guys being hurt, and they just did stupid things. Carlos Santana, $5.5 million. Okay, that's not much. It's paltry. But spend it on a pitcher. Don't, you know, put it in your Sonny Gray pot and borrow the other money from the bank that you own and give him $22 million a year for 3 years. I mean, God, it is awful. It's awful right now. And anyone who's disgusted with him, I can't argue with you. I cannot argue with you. You're right. They're just a complete mess right now. And you know, now I haven't seen him in a week or 10 days, but you know who else is disgusted? The manager.
Yes. Every time he talks, he's bad. He's mad every time he talks.
That's good. He is mad. But look at your team.
It's bad.
You know why they're bad? Because they're bad. That's why they're bad. It's not because they aren't trying. They're bad. Because they're bad.
The lineup doesn't scare you. The rotation doesn't scare you. Like Paddock hasn't been any better than Varland.
Pitching today, and we were going to have a parade for Paddock because he went back out there and after puking up his guts for four innings, he was going to go out. He
gave him some more.
He was perfectly willing to go out there and give up some more line drives. So I didn't like him. I didn't like him.
I didn't love him
training.
Either. No,
I didn't like him that well when everybody was saying 92 wins and stuff like that. And
like
and,
with who?
I didn't like him that well. And then the third baseman got hurt.
Gets hurt in the third inning of the first game.
Yeah. The season. As I said, the year that they opened in Milwaukee with Alex Colomay,
was
the closer, and I
21
said,
or 22?
They didn't. I said they didn't screw up that season until opening day. But this is the same. The season was over when Royce Lewis didn't make it past second base on his double.
Yeah.
But how many guys have been able to carry a 2,500 slugging percentage for 2 months?
That's true.
It's pretty good. He's over there and he's trying and working out and still as enthused as ever, but. You know, that's by the time he gets back, it's going to be too late. Even in this division, it's going to be too late.
So answer's probably a little bit of everything, but what are we blaming the most for this? Is it just, is it the payroll where you just weren't able to do everything you could do? Is it Falvey and Levine not kind of understanding how to reshape this with less money? Is it the manager not understanding how to manage this team? Is it the players just underperforming? How do you divide up the blame? I've got some ideas, but I want to hear what you think.
Well, I don't blame the manager at all.
Yeah.
He's trying to. You think he wants to play Willie Castro at shortstop every day? For God's sakes, no. You know, he's supposed to be a utility guy that you use 90 games a year, different places. I think that they have not drafted that well, and despite what claims they might make, I mean, and I blame the guys that are putting the organization together right now, because you don't right now, you know, it's like you're looking at the Vikings. Okay, I like what they've done in this, obviously, in this offseason, but you look around and the Detroit and the Bears and the Packers to a degree are all looking better, you know, not a powerful division, but they're all looking better than the Vikings right now, as far as the some of the decisions they made. A lot of them trace to Spielman out there. But right now, you know, you look at least Detroit and Kansas City both got a lot more young players that are good than this team does. They don't have what young players? I mean, Austin Martin, but I, you know, maybe as a leadoff hitter or a guy hitting eighth or something, but not for 650 at bats or something. And what else they got? Who's here that, you know, Walner came up and had a good 2 months, and you wondered if he's going to start being a strikeout artist again, and he was, and I don't know. Larnick was, you know, not. I mean, Royce Lewis is the only guy who has been coming that you were excited about, and now, you know, it's player development. If you ask me, it's that's the problem to me.
And pitchers, where are the pitchers at? Pitchers. Where are the pitchers?
Where are the pitchers? That too. I mean, even last year, how many of their starting pitchers in the last 10 years who've been competent were homegrown? Hardly any, right?
Yeah.
Everybody came from the outside.
Barrios, right?
Outside. Sonny Gray came from the outside. Yeah, Jose Barrios is pitching great, by the way. But they haven't developed any pitching. That's player development. There's not, you know.
Was Ober a draft and develop, or is he? I can't remember.
Yeah, no, he's one of their guys, but he's one. You know, it took a long time.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. Look at their bullpen. So a bunch of, you know, their prospective bullpen before everybody got hurt, a bunch of 29-year-olds who they picked up from, oh, good, we got Justin Topa. He's 32 or some right. damn thing, and he's hurt. So, I think it's a mess.
It's a mess right now, and it got bad in a hurry. Like, and no starting pitching depth, and, you know, whatever they thought they were going to get from DeSclafani, which maybe wasn't much anyway, but if that was your only even like wave at it move to add any kind of starting pitching in the offseason, that to me was the biggest offense of the front office, and not addressing that in any other way.
I think they have some flaws in the front office, obviously, but they're not stupid enough to think that this guy who's been hasn't pitched for 2 years and just basically got traded because the Giants made Seattle take him so they would take Robbie Ray in his contract. And then when you call Seattle, they say, yeah, we want Polanco, but you're going to have to take DeSclafani back.
Yeah.
They didn't get him thinking he was going to pitch for them. They knew he was not healthy enough to be a pitcher. That was never part of the plan. But again, as far as stupidity is concerned, you advertise him as your fifth starter.
Yes.
Are you going to be your fifth starter? Don't do that. And also, don't tell the public you're not going to spend any money. Don't proudly proclaim that you're going to cut their payroll $30 million. And by the way, how much of they got, like, don't we guess that they have about 40 coming in instead of 55 or
from
whatever
the TV money? Yeah, we don't. They have not made that public, of course.
They don't want to make it public because it's probably 80%, and they cut You know, they cut it as though they were going to get 20 million.
Yeah.
You know, is it why they cut it? But why did they? You know, we're seeing the immaturity of Joe Polad here with the idea that we're going to announce to the public. I know you had a good time at the ballpark last year when we finally won a playoff game when most of you were not even born yet. It was the last time,
right?
You know, several of numerous of your attendees never. You were still a gleam in the old man's eye, as we say.
Yes.
When we won last playoff game, and I know you had a lot of fun. But wait till you see what we got in mind for you next
the
year.
The fun is over.
New food products. Okay,
yeah.
You know, they're not going to have to worry about those new food products because there's going to be nobody there to eat the food. You know, so anyway.
What happens if they, you know, they've got seven against the White Sox in the next handful of days? Like, what if they
split?
What if
the Whiteys come in and win 3 out of 4?
Oh, you know? All right. I mean,
don't
then it's
bet against it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
because the Whiteys can't. I mean, Eloy's back and he hit a home run yesterday. He might. I don't know. They're great though. What we need here is Ozzie Guillen on our post game show. That's what we need instead of Lodz. Lodz was having a hard time sugarcoating the last one, but Ozzie comes on and. And the White Sox post game show, it's a comedy act because he just rips the hell out of them every day. It's amazing, but they're terrible, and they are hitting 188, and the Twins are hitting 195. So expect quick games there when the supposed to rain today, right? Later today.
I think it's actually supposed to. It's the forecast is improving, so I think you're supposed to.
Get out there. The Wolves aren't playing tonight, so you can go to the ball game and you can get yourself a fine seat. Just don't want to sit upstairs because that's closed. So,
you think the manager is more frustrated with the team he's been given or the way the team he's been given is playing?
He's not going to say it.
Yeah,
he's not going to say it, but he's obviously, you know, I mean, a lot of it is injuries. And for instance, as I said, he's putting Willie Castro at shortstop every day. That was not plan A, and that was not plan B.
I don't even know if it was plan C. Lee,
that was plan C at best.
Yeah.
So, what's Pedro Florimon doing? Let's give him a call.
Pedro Florimon,
Might be somewhere in the. We should start looking at those Mexican League rosters. You know, I think Fernando Rodney's still chucking down there.
Can we get Samuel Deduno back for the rotations?
Royal Credit Union's smart checking accounts offer no monthly fees and no minimum balance. Enjoy financial freedom when you open your Royal Credit Union Smart Checking account online at rcu.org/gochecking. Insured by NCUA.
You are optimistic about the Vikings, Patrick. You wrote a column about that.
Yes, I'm just optimistic that they got rid of Cousins because of spending $45 million for him to come in for this club would have been absolutely stupidity.
Yes.
And missing the opportunity to get your quarterback of a future this year when there's a lot of quarterbacks would have been stupid too. So you got to get, you know, and they say, only 50% of them make it. Well, this group, maybe 100% of them make it. Who knows? Because they're, you know, it's pretty good. And, you know, I know that they get those draft classes, quarterback classes get bragged up. But this has got a different vibe to it than most of them, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You supposedly got four guys, different skill sets, but pretty good. And I like Penix too. But I just think that they made two good decisions. You get rid of Cousins for all that money and you let Hunter go too because, you know, it's, if you give him $24 million a year for 2 years, each of 2 years – what do you think? Out of 17 games, 34 games, how many are you going to get? 25?
25, 20? I was going to say 25,
20, 25. I don't know. I think they made good decisions. I like bringing in Aaron Jones. Now, he's got a history of injury, hamstring troubles, too. But when he plays, man, he's good. And you're paying him a paltry $7 million. And I just, you know, they got a couple of defensive backs in here. They're going to draft probably another defensive back. And I don't know. If they don't get one of the top four, they might as well just wait at 11 or the 23 and take Penix,
right? I would think so.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though. We don't know who they love. They profess to love multiple people depending on where they wind up.
Yeah, but they're not going to get it sounds like, you know, Mike Reese is pretty good. Said that the Patriots would have to have a historic deal to trade number three, trade the third pick. So that means you give them both of these number ones, and you got to go get them another number one. And then they said, and then what?
And
the Justin Herbert, Herbert rumor is they want three number ones and Darisaw if you want to go get him.
Yeah, good luck with
that. I mean, I'd love to have him, and I know he's making an ungodly amount of money, but you're not going to do that, for goodness sakes.
No.
Yeah. Hey, Justin, come on in here and play quarterback. But we got your left tackles gone. You're going to get killed for a couple of years.
Sorry.
Just like you were out with the Chargers. You're going to get beat around. But the idea that they got to improve the offensive line, they've been drafting first and second rounders in the offensive line for 5 or 6 years.
Yes.
And it isn't that bad. If you got Darisaw at left tackle and O'Neal at right tackle,
you got to fix the interior.
Yeah. Well, Bradbury was what? The Pro Football Focus liked him last year, like fifth or something. And I don't know what that means. And then one of the guards is, did they let the Reisner go?
He's unsigned
still
at this point.
Signed. He must have more money and they're willing to pay him, huh?
Yeah, again.
So it's kind of like the Twins with pitchers, huh?
But, so you think McCarthy is going to be the guy?
Yeah, I think that the first three are May's going to go third, right, to Boston, so to New England. So, yeah, I think McCarthy'd be their guy. Yeah, and he's a much better athlete. People think of think of a guy that's playing quarterback at Michigan. You don't think of him as a great athlete, but supposedly he's a great athlete and a smart kid and. He shouldn't be downgraded because he played on a good team, should he? I mean, he made all the plays they want. Supposedly Harbaugh would love to get him, right?
Yeah, oh, I think so. Yeah,
but he's gotta get rid of his guy first. So.
Right, right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, I think it's gonna be they're gonna do something. I think they're pretty sharp out there now. I know a lot of people are. Quasi's had two terrible drafts. Well, he's had one terrible draft, right?
22. Yeah, that was not good.
Yeah, last year wasn't that bad. So the first one was awful. So then, but that's happened before. I got more confidence in him than I ever had in Spielman.
Yeah, these guys
Spielman
at least seem like...
right now. I'd be trying to get 9 6th rounders. So
to pair with Kirk Cousins, still they wouldn't have they wouldn't have been able to move on from Kirk Cousins. That just would have been their thing. Yeah. Well, the draft is in 3 nights. Mercifully, Patrick, I don't know if I can take any more. What's going to happen? I want to know what's going to happen. Let's just let it happen at this point. But yeah, I had Tom Curran on from NBC Sports Boston last week, and he basically said the same thing you were saying, that Mike Reese was saying, that it's going to take the Godfather type offer. He was saying, so you don't want to give up everything unless you just can't go. You got to have what Quasi called the walk away price, right? You got to say, we got to build. We have other positions other than quarterback. You can love someone as much as you can, but you got to be able to walk away at a certain point and say, not at that price.
How about all of the commenters on Star Tribune story saying, now they should trade Justin Jefferson for a first, a second, and a third? Okay, let's have no star power. Isn't that a good idea?
It's a way out of the box, but it's a way into a whole bunch of 6 and 11
seasons.
No,
I mean, you pay him a load of money, but it's you got it. What you're paying him is the $5 million more than the $30 million they added to the cap this year. It's not like if you bring back him and if you bring back Cousins, then you got to bring him back, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, there would have been no sense in cut.
Right.
So you'd already you'd be in cap purgatory there. Boom, boom, boom. So now you get rid of Cousins. Plus, you know, as I said in that column, you know, he paid a lot of money for high mediocrity.
Yeah,
the last 6 years, you know, but what was accomplished by having him?
Let's try something else.
And remember how much you disliked him his first two or three years here, people.
Yes.
So anyway, good luck to you, Atlanta. You can have him. So
well, we'll see how it all shakes out this week. We'll see if the Twins can actually win a game.
Whoever thought we'd be saying, "Thank God we have the Wolves in this town."
Right.
You know,
right.
Wild's
done. Twins are struggling. Hey, the Loons won 3-0. We saw that, so that's good for them.
Hey, I flipped the channel, and there was a soccer game, and I couldn't tell. I thought all their games were on Amazon, but it was on S1 or something, or Apple or whatever the hell it is. And I watched it for like a minute, and this guy had a great goal, whoever he is. I never heard of him, but he's, he hit it through just a little crack, a rocket to make it 1-0.
Yeah.
And I said, "Hey, I got to change. I saw a goal. I'm not going to sit here another hour and a half and wait for another one. That's enough. I'm not going to test my luck here and think that I'm going to see another one, for goodness sakes. I just saw a goal. It was great."
Way to go, Patrick. I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about next week, coming off the draft, other Timberwolves playoff games, and we'll see if the Twins can get themselves straightened out against Chicago.
Yes. Cut into that lead of the Guardians, who are pulling away from you, and Kansas City, by the way.
All right, Patrick. All right, thank you. Bye-bye.